Hello and welcome back to Talking Europe. We've talked a lot about how the Trump administration is a wake-up call to Europe on defence and security, but there's another area, a very important one, where America First is having a huge impact, and that is in the developing world. In March, it was announced that 83% of USAID programs and contracts were being terminated. These programs don't serve US interests, members of the Trump government say, but critics, including some MEPs here in Brussels, say that the defunding is costing lives, for example, when it comes to treatments for HIV. The US has been the single top provider of ODA, or overseas development assistance, around the world, accounting for just over 20% in 2023. Team Europe, that's the EU and its member states collectively, contributed 41%. One of the key questions now is who can fill the $60 billion funding gap. We're going to pose that question and others, of course, to our guests. Abir Al-Salani is a Swedish MEP from Renew Europe and vice chair of the Committee on Development. Deve, welcome to you.
Thank you.
Our other two guests are also members of that Committee on Development. Reinhold Lopatka is an Austrian MEP from the European People's Party. Welcome to you.
Thank you for that.
And we're also here with Udo Bullmann, a German MEP from the Socialists and Democrats. Welcome to you as well. Abir Al-Salani, I'd like to start with you. So in terms of the people that you've talked to in developing countries, obviously, as I said, as vice chair of the committee, what are they telling you about the impact this is having, the real world impacts?
Well, I mean, it has a direct impact on people's lives and their possibilities actually to survive from day to day, especially when it comes to gender equality issues, SRHR, sexual reproductive health and rights, and of course the issue of who is going to fill this gap. And the signals are very clear. If we want to be the soft power, a global player, then we have to also put our money where our mouth is. Yeah. And you cannot only just talk, you have to also strengthen our international partners who are on the global scale suffering from this as we speak every day.
So, Udo Bullmann, is the EU putting its money where its mouth is?
I totally agree. If the international community not becomes more proactive in a situation, in a disaster like that, millions of people will die all over the globe. They will starve. They will die from diseases, and we cannot exclude new pandemics because there is a certain critical mass of medical intervention, of vaccination, which you have to inject into this development. Otherwise, you will cause this death. No, not at the very moment. We have to change our policy. We have to become more energetic to avoid that.
Your thoughts on that same question, Reinhold Lopatka, on the EU stepping up, or is it doing enough?
I think what we see is that US President Trump doesn't care about the fate of hundreds of thousands of millions of people. What should we do? We should continue at first and not to reduce what we have done in the past. The second thing is, we have to be focused on the least developed countries, on the poorest of the poor, on the first stage. As my colleague mentions it, if we talk about healthcare, if we talk about education, also if we talk about the stability in these countries. So they are in need and we have to help them, but we cannot say that we can do all they have done. US AID, they had $70 billion. So you see, Europe was strong because also the member countries did a lot. Non-EU member countries like Norway, they were leading in this field. So we have also to encourage them.
Yeah, there's Japan, there's other countries as well. You were looking a little bit skeptically there, I think.
Yeah, because, I mean, at the same time, the policies that are proposed by the EPP do not match that at the same time, you know. I do understand that we have to prioritize. And as I said, HRSR, gender equality, democracy, human rights, but not the least fragile states. If we want to build resilience across the globe, then I think these are the issues that we have to prioritize. But policy-wise, you don't see this in the House from your side, Mr. Lopatka.
No, what I see is that we have to look at our budget. We have to look where we have to invest. And we have new fields, like defense. We had not this field before. And we need billions of euros, so we should be honest. If President Trump is making a big, big mistake, sorry, at first, it's not our fault. Secondly, what I want to say is, of course, we have to continue, and we should not make the European Union worse as it is. We are in a leading position with the support of the member countries.
Udo Bultmann, you've been critical as well of the EPP's vote in the last plenary on this issue.
To put it more on a general line, I think there is a new myth in European capitals, as well as in Brussels, as well as in some party groups here in the House. This new myth is transactionalism. Mm. We need to invest where we can profit. Sometimes even worse, we reduce public framing and public policy and leave it up to the industry. We need industry, we need private investment, but you have to define European interests solidly in the medium and in the long term, and not only short-term profit interests. In the long term, in the medium term, we want to build a sustainable world, and we need partners for that. We cannot allow millions of people to die, to starve, because we do not invest our interest in a global stable environment.
Do you see that kind of long-term thinking? Because now that these aid budgets are dwindling...
Unfortunately, it's what we are doing is now panicking and becoming very short-sighted. We are not planning for the long run anymore. We used to do that, but not anymore. We are actually giving a false perception to our citizens that if we do not take money from the development aid, then we don't have security because we have to put the money there. But on the same notice, we have to say that you cannot build our own security if you don't build also global security. Mm. And as long as you have the fragile states where people are not even having a chance for food or healthcare, or girls are forced to perform their full pregnancy because they don't have a right to safe and legal abortion, I don't think that we're creating a more safer world.
I only want to mention two things. I think that our EU foreign policy chief, Kaya Kallas, is absolutely right when she says simply we doesn't have the funds to do all the US Americans have done. On the other side, we have to look for new partners, for example, the Gulf states. The Gulf states, through the last years, they spent more than 15 billion euros. And they are interested in partnerships. I think here we have to be focused. When I have Africa in my mind, the Arab world. Here, I think we should offer us as partners for the Gulf countries. For example, UAE, only UAE, they spent more than 5 billion euros for development aid. I think we should also see new chances, and we should take them.
Absolutely correct. There is nothing, we do not disagree. The thing is that you are forcing a picture of that we have to take the fundings from the development aid that is already very small. We do not even already do not live up to our global commitments and cut. Like our global partners, they were very good. I mean, support for that. But you have the UN, you have the UNFPA that they don't know what to do with their programs that they have been working on. The UNDP, UN Women. I mean, all these organizations are on their bare knees, and they do not know how to actually fulfill the programs that they are committed to doing.
Yeah. And if the EU doesn't get more involved, there's obviously a risk that China will be particularly strengthened by that. I think you've talked about this, Udo Bultmann, and the fact that Xi Jinping promised $50 billion in 2024, over 3 years for investment in jobs and education and so on.
I think for the European Union, there is a once-in-a-lifetime window of opportunity now. And if there is anything good in the bad that Trump caused, this is this chance for the European Union to to globally take the lead, form a positive, productive alliance of nations of goodwill to save the multilateral system, to save sustainable and healthy policies for everybody, good education for those new millions of people who would like to enter the labor market, and to have excellent partnership with the Global South. This is the call of today, and we have to live up to that.
Yeah, and on that call of today, I mean, if Europe doesn't heed the call, we're going to see perhaps more displacement, more migration coming to the EU.
Absolutely. It's not charity what we are doing. Yeah. It is in our interest. Yeah. You are absolutely right. And so we have to continue. Yeah. But what I want to say is we cannot do all what the US Americans have done, and it's their fault and not our fault.
Final comment from you.
No, I think if we consider ourselves to be global leaders for these values that we say that our own union is built upon, of course we have to continue, and we really must stop this notion of that our security is based on other people's insecurity or based on less solidarity. If we cannot secure everyone's security, then I don't think that we are going to be able to build our own security. So development aid is actually a crucial investment in our own security, and this is what we have to live up to.
We'll end it there. Thank you so much for this discussion. Thank you to my three guests, Sabir Al-Salani, Udo Bullmann, and Reinhold Lopatka. Thanks for watching this program here on Talking Europe.